Thank you, Father. Okay, you guys grab your handouts. The sharing today is going to be on Joshua chapter 9, Joshua chapter 10, or Yehoshua chapter 9, chapter 10. And in chapter 9 is going to be the story of the Gibeonites. And in chapter 10 is the story of the Canaanites who chose something different. And we'll read through it here in a moment, but chapter 9 and chapter 10 is a summation of the whole book, in my opinion. If you look at, because in chapter 9, the Gibeonites say, "We have heard about Yahweh, and we greatly feared, here we are." The whole earth belongs to them. For 40 years, they had heard about Yahweh's coming. And what did they do? They chose life, and they submitted. Chapter 10, they greatly feared, is going to be the rest of the Canaanites. It says they feared too. Guess what? Everybody that meets Yahweh is going to fear him. But what are they going to do with it? They're going to choose death.
Yeah.
And Yahweh is going to actually join in, confuse them, and Yahweh is going to throw rocks and kill them. He starts throwing rocks. But what is that? That is the purpose of life. I sent you a PDF of this. So you want to witness to somebody, what's the purpose of life? Why would a perfect God put Adam and Eve in a garden and then put that stupid tree in there, the tree of knowledge? Why would he even tempt them? Choose life. Freedom of will. And if somebody would turn, everybody didn't have to go there, but Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 is a summation that Yahweh tells through Moses. Death and life are in front of you. Choose life. The whole purpose, we're in between two different earths. The new heaven and the new earth, we have the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Choose life. What did they choose? They chose death. But the purpose of all existence of mankind is to choose life. And what it, when and if you choose life, is your job resume for the next life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a guy that was interviewing for, I forget what the position was, but it was some sort of nobles in England. What are they called? Counts or dukes?
Earl.
And somebody applied, and somehow he got through the screening process to be one of the head, I don't know, custodians of the Duke. And they go, "What are your qualifications?" They go, "Well, you wrote all these things about it." And I go, "So what have you done?" "I haven't done anything." And the conclusion of the interview is somehow he got through. But what was he thinking? "Oh, you're going to be in charge of everything. What did you do?" "I haven't done anything." That's going to be most people in the resurrection. What did you do to earn this next job? "Oh, I want to be,
yeah.
I want to be your number one. I sang songs about you my whole life. I love you. What did you do?" "What? What did you do with his life?" And John Shane and I did a teaching. He says that after the battle of Armageddon in Revelation, people are going to have to go pick up bones. He goes, some people are going to be picking up bones. What's their job? Hey, picking up bones after Armageddon is better than going through Armageddon, but what is your job? They go, "Why am I picking up bones?" And Isaiah is riding around in a chariot. Well, Isaiah worked on his resume. Yeah. You got lots of experience. And so that's the purpose of our life. What are you going to be doing in the next earth life? But when you talk to somebody, the whole book, death, life is before you. And if it's not in full, it can be in part, because Romans chapter 6 says 6:23. Does anybody know that one? The wages of sin, the payment of sin, is what?
Death.
And so if somebody is sinning, I've been there, all of us have been there, you are choosing death. Okay, and so that's the purpose of our whole life. And Yahweh gives everybody, he's a perfect God, he wants a relationship. The difference between having a dog, what's the name of your dog?
Duke.
He chooses to obey you guys. Mm-hmm. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You ever seen a dog that didn't obey anybody but licked them all?
Yeah.
To the pound. Jumping on people, chewing on stuff. No, I don't want... Obey. But Duke has freedom of will. A TV does not. There's no freedom of will. So all mankind was given freedom of will. And if you go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, and so we don't have to go there. I gave you guys this so you could keep it. Romans 1, verse 20 says, all men are without excuse. Everybody knows the judgment's coming. Everybody knows they were created. And everybody knows they're programmed. They're going to meet me. Only a just God could judge people if they knew there was going to be a judgment. He put it inside everybody. Everybody knows. Romans chapter 2, 13 through 16, Yahweh explains that even people in Polynesia and these islands and these places that have never heard of Jesus Christ, they will be given a chance, and they know there's a creator. What are they going to do? Are they going to choose life, or are they going to choose death? They know love your neighbor as yourself. And it says even people, if they're doing the law, they're Jews. Now they might not be circumcised, but if you're loving your neighbor, love Yahweh, your God, you might not know his name, but here's your creator. I love you, I've seen death, I know this isn't the end, and I'm going to love my neighbors myself, you're fulfilling the law, and they'll get a chance. All of us will get a chance. But then Psalms 37 is not about heaven and hell. It's life or death. Life or death. Life, death. Life, death. And then John 3:16 down here also, it says, choose life. For God, Yahweh, so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that they don't go to hell, but they go to heaven.
No.
So they shall not perish,
but
shall have life in your body. So mankind, here's a tree of life. We can make fun of Adam and Eve, but how many times have you or I chosen death?
Yeah.
This week. A sin. You did something. He's pointing at you. you're gonna exalt yourself above Adam and Eve, and you just did the same thing. Oh, okay, all right. The tree of life, take of it, or death. Man was created on the sixth day. 666 is the mark of the beast. It's also a mark of man. Man is either the hands and feet of Jesus Christ or Yahweh. Or he's the hands and feet of the adversary. And if you choose to live like a beast, if an insect dies, what happens to an insect? It's gone. Broken down into dirt, compost. Okay, so some humans would love to just be like a beast. Adolf Hitler commits suicide. I'm just going to be just like a beast. Because down here in Revelation, there's a second death. What's up with the second death? Vero and I were talking about pedophiles or some of these wicked, wicked people. Evil people selling children for sex, little children for sex. We don't want to know what's going to happen to them. You don't want to know. What is it? There's going to be a second death, and we know that, one scripture I forgot to put on here was, vengeance is mine. Yahweh loves balanced scales. Every scale will be balanced. When? It's above my pay grade. It's above your pay grade. And when we're demanding answers, who are you demanding answers from?
The creator.
Yeah, not an employee. Hey, you gotta explain this to me. Really?
Hey, little bug.
And so there will be a second death. And so those who thought they got away with it, and I got a grim reaper down here, Genesis 2:17, he says, don't choose death. Life and death. And the story of Joshua chapter 9 and chapter 10, these two chapters, is a summation of all of this. It's a great way to point things out. Vera was talking about her dad was a farmer, and she was talking about the sheep, when they had to kill the sheep and put... She said that, I don't know this, the sheep would look you right on the eyes as you were killing them. Like, why are you doing this? Slit the throat and they're looking at you and they're dying. And as we're talking about the second death and where is all this going to be fixed, what's going to happen to them, it was almost like her own father would not want her to see what's happening to the sheep unless she had to. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it, but that's going to be the second death. But that's where we can warn people to wake some people up. Hey, why did it take Gibeon so long to do a 180? Who cares? They did it. And a day before Gibeon and the Canaanites, or as the Canaanites is, well, I'll stay on course. Go to Joshua chapter 9. I almost went chasing rabbits.
We never read Deuteronomy.
No, we didn't read any of those.
Okay, well, she was there already.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Too late.
I didn't read it. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. I didn't plan on doing that, so that was an audible that I should not have called. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9 says, I'm getting low, death and life are before you. Choose life. And what do we know about those who are too young to die before? Yahweh will balance the scales. Everybody will get a chance. The purpose of life is to choose life. The purpose of every heartbeat in a human being is a chance to choose their father. Would you like to live with your father? No. Okay, no problem. Would you? Yes, I would. Then here's what you got to do. You're in. Okay, great. You know there's going to be positions there, right? There's going to be high rises, big trucks. I look at what the cars you guys are driving, I'm going, you kidding me? My first car was $100. My second car is $250, and I didn't even necessarily deserve those things. I'm looking at what you guys inherited, like, wow, I wish I would have thought like that. So, but Joshua chapter 9 is going to be the Gibeonites. And if you would take turns reading, somebody start 9 verse 1.
And it came to pass when they heard, namely, all the kings who were over the Jordan, excuse me, in the hill country and in the lowland, and in all the coast of the great sea, over against the Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Then gathered they themselves together as one man to fight with Yahushua.
Okay, what's going to be real important right there? I mean, circle that. What are they going to choose to do? Well, maybe they didn't know.
No, they knew.
If you read earlier about Achan and his family, his whole family died. What's up with that? His whole family was warned. Don't do this or you will die. And guess what his whole family did? I'm not going to do it. They chose death. Achan chose death. Rahab, what did she choose? Life. Life. She chose life. Now these people, it would appear, maybe these Canaanites, hey, who are you to come take their land? And this could be the same thing with Europeans and indigenous Indians. Who does the land belong to? Yeah. If somebody's not going to say it belongs to Yahweh, I'm not even going to get into the debate. No, all of this land belongs to Yahweh. He gets to choose who's going to be the husbandman or not. But these people are there to choose to fight Joshua. And in chapter 3, let's see, or verse 3. I guess if somebody had to read verse 3, you can keep reading.
Now the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, they, however, acted craftily and startled, and
when?
Took whole sacks for their asses and leather wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and sandals old and parched upon their feet, and worn out mantles upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and broken. So they took their journey unto Yahushua, unto the camp at Gilgal, and unto him and unto the sons of, or the men of Israel, from a far country are we come. Now therefore, solemnize with us a covenant. And then the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure in our midst you are dwelling, how then can we solemnize with you a covenant? And they said unto Yahushua, thy servants we are.
What did they do? They chose life.
Yeah.
Everybody knows there's a creator. Owns all of this. It's inside of us. We have it. You're the new big dog. We're in. People did that with Rome. They did this with the Greeks. They did this with the Athenians. You're the new big, but these aren't the creators. In this case, we're going to read that they know that Joshua represents the creator, because you can't do what they're doing. They're going to choose life. Okay? Go ahead, please.
8, and they said unto Yahushua, thy servants we are. And Yahushua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country have thy servants come, because of the name of Yahweh thy Elohim, because we have heard his fame, and all that he had done in Egypt. and all that he had done unto the two kings of the Amorites who were over the Jordan, unto Sihon king of Heshbon, and unto Og king of Bashan, who was in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our land spake unto us, saying, take ye in your hand provisions for the journey, and go your way to meet them. Then shall you say unto them, your servants we are. Now therefore solemnize with us a covenant.
Your servants we are. They chose life. Yeah. Is Yahweh a respecter of persons?
No.
Why is that important? Well, because Achan and his family were Hebrews of the Joshua generation. They were the chosen generation. Rahab was a prostitute. What did Rahab know about Yahweh? Was she kosher? Did she know about blood? She didn't know any of that stuff. Was she doing it? No, but she was given a choice. She falls upon her knees, and anybody that was in her household fell upon their knees too to say, if you're it, we're in. Hey, we're in. And Achan, right after that, chooses death. He and his whole family. When you read that his whole family dies, you have to read before it. The whole family knew, and they chose death. You can imagine all of Israel when they stoned them, how angry you would have been. You didn't just choose death. Look what you did to the rest of us. And so that's not the point of this. But the point here is Gibeon is going to say, here we are. There's going to be a lot of people who didn't know Jesus Christ's name. They didn't know Yahweh's name. They didn't know anything. But as soon as they go at a judgment, you're the... Okay, I didn't know you were going to look like that. But I'm in. I'll wash your feet. I'll wash this. I'll do whatever it takes. I don't want to die. I don't want death. I choose life. And what did you do with your life? And it's going to flash before. And you know, it's interesting with our judgment. I used to think we're going to be sitting there and everything's going to go through the fire. We're just going to be watching gone. But what does Yahweh do? Even when he talks, what do you do with Cain and Cain? Where's your brother? You know everything. Why are you asking me? There's a chance that even with our meeting Christ at the resurrection and the judgment, he's going to be talking to you. You ever think about that? Tell me, Melania. You didn't say this is going to be an interview. I thought you were just going to watch this. There's a chance it could be an interview. How many times did Yahweh go, what are you doing? Where's your brother? And how many times did Yahweh show up to people through prophets going, where are you? Elijah, what are you doing? Ah! choose life, choose death. Then the Gibeonites are going to go. What's an interesting side note to all this is who is going to make the covenant? Not Joshua. It's the princes. The princes, the princes, the princes. What's up with that? Don't necessarily know. And then 3 days later, they find out that the Gibeonites should have been wiped out. Yahweh had warned them what's going to happen if you don't remove the inhabitants. So maybe they're thinking about that. They murmured against the princes. What's interesting is after this with the princes, guess who shuts up? No more princes. Now Joshua. So this is the beginning of Joshua. Okay? Here Joshua starts taking over. Now we're going to reading, and here's the intervention. How do we reconcile this? How are we going to reconcile this? Let me see here. We go down to 23 is going to be the consequences. You're going to be hewers of wood. You're going to be carriers of water. You know what? In the resurrection, there's going to be hewers of wood and carriers of water. And they're going to be like, you think here. I can carry wood, chop wood, or I can be dead.
For the house of your God.
I think I'll chop wood. Mm-hmm. And so here these guys, here they are. And they're going, hey, it worked. What's the point of this whole story, though? Yahweh didn't have to tell us any of this. And he didn't have to honor them either. They lied. Yahweh's the creator of the universe. You lied. Null and void. You know what happened if you lied on your resume for a job? You're hired. Great, I'm in. Wait a minute. You lied on this? Bye. Yahweh didn't even have to do, but he did. He gave them a chance. Why? Life and death. Life and death. Now, go down to, remember at the very beginning, all of them are going to war. Maybe only the Gibeonites know about Yahweh in Egypt. I don't know. So verse 24 is going to go into another response. Back to Joshua. Somebody read that.
What verse?
Chapter 9, verse 24.
And they responded to Yahushua and said, because it was plainly told thy servant.
Hold on a second. So do you understand how the emphasis works with the emphasized Bible?
Yeah.
Okay. With this response, use the emphasis.
Okay.
Please.
And they responded to Yahushua and said, because it was plainly told thy servants how Yahweh thy Elohim had commanded Moses his servant to give unto you all the land and destroy all your inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore feared we greatly for our lives because of you and did this thing.
And here they are. Anyway, it was plainly told. Mm-hmm. We know about Egypt. We know what happened to Og. We know about these things, and we know we are to be wiped out. Judgment is coming. And it's not just then. Romans 1 says that they know a judgment's coming. The landlord's coming. Jesus Christ over and over again talked about the vineyard and the husbandmen. People have been leased out. The owner of the vineyard's coming. And so they plainly feared, and what was their response to this judgment? They get down on their knees. Now go to chapter 10. We're going to look at... Okay, and it came to pass... Would somebody read for me, so I'll go too fast.
Come on, you go.
Yeah, thanks.
And it came to pass when
Adonizedek.
Yeah. King of Jerusalem heard that Yahushua had captured Ai and devoted it to destruction as he had done in Jericho and her king. So had he done unto Ai and her king, and that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and had come into their midst, then feared they greatly.
What did they do?
Feared they greatly.
They feared too, just like the Gibeonites. What are they going to do? Choose life or death. Go ahead.
Because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Therefore sent Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto the Purim, king of Yarmuth, and unto Yafia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon.
What a bunch of cowards. Who are they going to smite?
Gibeon.
They're not going to fight Joshua. It reminds me of the Democrats. We're going to pick on the weak one. Hey, let's go get the little guy. Yeah. And here they are, but what do they fear? The Gibeonites. But what do we see here is Yahweh's heart. Because the Gibeonites, what do? They bow down to Joshua and go, Joshua, help us. We're your servants. So what does Yahweh do? Yahweh tells Joshua in verse 8, and Yahweh said unto Joshua, do not fear because of them, for unto thy hand have I delivered them. Not a man of them shall stand before thee. Yahweh says all of them will be destroyed, which is interesting because they start running out of time later on. What does that mean? Sun's going down, no moon, can't fight at night. He said we're supposed to wipe them all out. What are we going to do? Yahweh said, sun stands still. But even before Yahushua says, thou sun stands still, why did he do that? Because he was fulfilling what Yahweh called him to do. Isn't that neat? Father, we need more time to complete this thing. And did. But before then, this was of Mark Hankins, that it said, verse 11, this isn't the teaching, but if somebody had... Mel, would you read 11, please?
Yeah. And it came to pass when they fled from Israel, they having been slope of Beth Horon, that Yahweh cast down...
Yahweh starts throwing rocks at them. These cowards started fleeing. Now they're going to get away. Mark Hankins goes, can you imagine that? Mark Hankins goes, here's Joshua in there whooping their butt, and Yahweh's like, you guys are having too much fun. I'm not letting you have it all by yourself. These suckers start running. He's like, wow! He starts nailing these people. You can see rocks, these meteorites or whatever coming. And he goes, how many of y'all know that Yahweh's a good shot? Yeah. Oh, he's a pretty good shot. He doesn't miss. In fact, you can see somebody running. Look at him miss. Ha ha, miss. And ricochet. Boom, boom. Can you imagine the angels watching this?
Yeah.
Who else is watching this? The Gibeonites are watching this. Who else is watching this? All the rest of Canaan. How many, through the rest of Joshua, they did not subdue all the land. They did not completely clean it out. Neither did it in the book of Judges. All those people would have heard about this same God fall down on your knees...
Let the Gibeon.
And look what he did with the Gibeonites. A lot of them didn't. Why? They chose death. Life and death. And with our lives, when we understand, we can explain this. It's life and death. Christ is coming back. We'll be resurrected. The purpose of your life is your job resume. What are you going to do on the next earth? That way your heart is your treasure is going to be. If you never think about what you're going to do on the next earth, do you have any treasures there? No. You're going to burn out. But if you start thinking, Peter said, Jesus Christ goes, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. You can imagine the apostles look at each other like, Peter's like, what? Wait a minute, man. I gave up everything to follow you. What am I going to get? Oh, Peter, you're so selfish. You should just obey me because you love me. That's not what he said. Peter, you guys, if you finish your race, he didn't say that, will sit on 12 thrones. And what do you think happened then? 12 thrones. Can you imagine them thinking about the 12 thrones? And when Peter, after he denied Jesus Christ with a cock crow because he was confused, put away your sword, I'm not supposed to fight, but I'm following him. I don't know what to do. I'm going to go fishing. When Jesus Christ came back to Peter at the end of John, says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. In the back of his mind, he goes, you could still have that throne, Peter. I wonder what thrones are set before you and I. If we focus on the resurrection, and the last thing with this, if we understand this, don't waste your time with those who choose death. You don't want life?
Bye.
Check. You got that, right? Next. No, I want to sit here and argue with you. No, I'm not wasting time because there's too many people. There's too many people that want to get in. There's too many Gibeonites. How many Christians are people going to the Jews trying to convince the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Most of them, they don't want in. There's plenty of Rahabs and there's whatever. But that's it. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for helping us. And I'll give a prophecy according to your scriptures because your word says, covet, earnestly desire to prophesy. So Father, let your Holy Spirit, I'll put you on speakerphone. Know that I will not possess you, nor will I take over, because I am a God to be respected. Do you understand what that means? I give you a choice to obey or disobey. When I tell you to speak, it is up to you. But it is through your obedience that I will set you free. Behold, I know every desire of your heart, and I have all of them in the balances. If you only had any idea how many blessings, rewards, and jewelry that I could bestow upon you, choose life, obey me, do my scriptures. I won't possess you, but I will hold your hand and I will spot you through this life. I will coach you. I will teach you as you open the scriptures with a heart. And I will give you the visions, I will give you languages, and I will give you understandings as much as you can handle without becoming haughty. Behold, life is before you, and I stand knocking at the door. Amen.
Hallelujah.